Oh, you're sounding more and more like Oprah.
Am I?
Hello, everyone. No, but it is. It is lovely to say hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends.
Exactly.
Our more life with the girlfriends.
Either way, it works fine for me. And it's so funny because I'm trying to quickly download some content for our show that a question I wanted to get right, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not working out the way I hoped, but that's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Content, huh?
Yeah, well, that's not the that's right word.
Is that what you call this?
I call it content. Would we have content on the show?
So, girlfriend.
Yes.
Who are you?
Hey, we're Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie. You're Christine Marie.
Oh,
you're
Christine
my mom.
Marie.
I'm your daughter.
Yeah. And we're girlfriends.
Right. And we're law of attraction coaches, or as I say now, coaches, because we've done so much more work with law of attraction and other stuff out there.
Yeah.
You're a therapist.
I'm a master's degree in counseling psychology.
I'm a former teacher.
Yes.
And we're just here celebrating more life and trying to figure it all out, aren't we?
We sure are. And, you know, it sometimes it's like an onion. Sometimes it's like a flower unfolding. Sometimes it's like a damn scab that you keep picking off.
And sometimes I feel like my week is just to absorb as much interesting stuff.
That Which
we can
you
put
do.
Put the pieces together on this Sunday before the week begins.
I know. Julie, you are fascinating that way.
Mm,
you know, you bring so much to the table.
Today, was it today or yesterday?
You informed me that floaters in your eyes.
Yes.
See, I always thought that you had floaters and you had to deal with them.
Right.
And then you informed me that you talked to someone who was in the industry, the eye floater industry, that they come and go.
They can dissolve.
They can dissolve, and then you get more.
Yeah.
Or
and she said otherwise, if it didn't dissolve, by the time we're 40, our eyes would just be one blanket of floaters.
See, I just thought that you were born with actual floaters in your eyes, and that's what stayed.
And then you just get used to them?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, I know it to be true that they do dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some that I get that I literally for a while will think is somebody walking across the room.
Right, yeah. I used to have one that looked like little flowers.
Yes.
When you were a little girl. You used to go, Mom, I got flowers in my eyes.
Well, I hope these are flowers. I doubt that. I don't know. But there was a period in my life where things were going kind of difficult. Right. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd have just enough light in my room, and I would see these things flowing towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember not being afraid, but I remember sitting up in bed trying to grab them and touch them. I'm like, what is this? And then I wake myself up like going, well, that was scary. and then I called them floaters.
Mama, I go, they're just floaters, Julie.
Yes.
And go take your psychotropic medicine.
Yes, please. And luckily, I don't wake up in those terrors anymore, that night terror anymore, as a young adult doing that. I went to one of those big box stores to have my sunglasses fixed one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind enough, and they couldn't do it, you know. And I talked about floaters, and they said, no, they stay forever, that you can't ever get rid of them.
Mm.
And then so I went to picking up some contacts for Doug and go in there to a doctor, you know, the doctor. I talked to a doctor or his assistant or whatever, but a little bit more professional, I guess, maybe than the big box, I don't know. And I talked to him about floaters, and he said, no, for sure, they dissolve. They definitely dissolve.
Mm-hmm. So they sort of come and go.
They come and go.
And so at some point you may just have one in a kind of an irritating place.
Oh, yes.
And then it eventually will go away.
It dissolves. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, then it gives you a little bit of hope.
It gives me a little bit of hope. I need hope today.
Yes.
I just need
some hope today. There's that new, it's not new, but there is that process of going from hope to belief to knowing. And wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that's kind of one of the genesis of it all. We go from hoping it's like this to believing, but then to knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And faith is in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the faith that you're in the process.
Yes.
You're in the process of either having, hoping for it, believing it, and knowing it.
Mm.
Knowing it will come true and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up, we have been talking about, okay, first off, I'm going to let it all on the line. There has been some crazy crap going on in the world.
Yes.
On different social media sites, I listen to my podcast, and then I do listen to Glenn Beck sometimes because he's crazy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crazy in a smart way.
You know, the people that I've been listening to have sounded crazy as well.
Yes. And yet it's just enough information that you're going, well, could they be right?
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Beck, I listened to him through Tim Ferriss one time.
Mm-hmm.
He did an old hour and a half, 2-hour show with Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week. And Tim Ferriss starts off by doing a disclaimer.
Like, about what?
I don't know what you think about him, but put all your political opinions aside.
Okay.
There's a lot of wisdom in this podcast.
I want to know how Tim Ferriss gets Glenn Beck, though. Same way Tim Ferriss got Tony Robbins.
Yes. I don't know either. Tim Ferriss, I can understand believe he can get Tony Robbins because
mm-hmm.
you can hire Tony Robbins to be a coach, to be your coach, and then, or you can go to his coaching seminars. And then if you go enough of those, I'm sure, they can, will say, hey,
I'll do your podcast.
Yeah. Why not? Everybody, mm-hmm. Tim Ferriss is probably up there now.
I think he is.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. He's done enough. Had enough New York Times best-selling books.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the big leagues.
Yeah.
So
but he kind of started that when we did.
Oh, for sure.
That kind of don't go there, Chrissy girl.
Please don't go there.
No.
So early in the show, and when you listen to him frequently, like I do,
mm-hmm.
you realize, well, he's an animal.
Yeah.
And that's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that stuff. I don't carry that stuff, and
right.
that's not me. So
he is an animal.
That is his. That's his.
Mm-hmm.
thing. Well, a couple of different stories. So anyway, he was, in his interview with Glenn Beck.
Right.
I got this completely different view of Glenn Beck than I do on his radio show. Sometimes on The Blaze, I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or truthful.
Mm-hmm.
But where he's at right now in his journey is he talks about this idea that, ISIS want to cause the next world war, because they must, because if the next world war a big, huge world conflict doesn't occur, their God doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been listening to other people talk about that's true. They believe that. And yet we believe, or other people believe, that that's Christians' antichrist.
Right.
and so we literally have these two parties in play who are...
mm-hmm.
come from the same arena here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the story is correct. It comes from Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Oh, you mean the ISIS,
the biblical
seed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Or
okay. Is that really true? It comes from Abraham. The kid that the Ishmael.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, really? Muhammad came from Ishmael.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, that's freaking interesting, though. If that's
isn't
the case.
That the truth? I mean, isn't that how it worked out? And then
can somebody find out for us?
Yes, and then we can. I say that in a very as I'm exploring my Christian roots in a very spiritual way, and this all makes me crazy
mm-hmm.
because I don't hook my star onto anybody
mm-hmm.
or hook my belief onto anybody, because I think you can twist a belief or a...
Oh, heck yeah.
And make it crazy.
Oh, heck yeah.
And so...
And you'll get crazy.
And then you'll get crazy.
Yeah. That's why you got to just ultimately learn to trust that still small voice inside of you.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Otherwise,
and
you'll go crazy.
And so what I don't get, if there's prophecy... And you know the prophecy, and you make the prophecy happen, or you
mm-hmm.
try to make the prophecy happen.
Mm-hmm.
How is that prophecy?
Hmm. I totally agree with you.
I mean, prophecy to me means it's hidden, and then like all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's exactly what it said,
mm-hmm.
and no one was trying to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just organically crazy like happened.
Right.
Like with in the Bible with Peter, And
yeah, I know what you're going to go for.
Yeah, so Jesus says, hey, you're going to
deny me three times.
And he goes, hell no, I'm not. I would never do that, Jesus. And he's like, okay. He didn't say, oh, okay, Jesus said do that. I will bring that prophecy to happen.
Yeah.
He goes, no, I'm not. And sure enough, he did.
Wow.
Sure enough. And so I feel like
I kind of think that's cheating.
I do, too. I think it's really cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just,
I think it, and also, I think it's just a way to be mean.
Oh, for sure.
Is it okay if I call them mean?
I call anyone who wants to bring World War III down mean and crazy.
Well, also, too, like, we can say that word on the phone because the law expired that they're going to be, you know, listening to us on the phone and stuff like that. And, do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes, I do know what you're talking about. That did supposedly expire,
mm-hmm.
but they can still, there's other ways around it. And listening to other people talk, it's sort of like, well, this is just one agency that was denied access to it.
Mm-hmm.
There could be many, many other covert agencies mm-hmm. out there that are listening to our phone calls.
Right.
And I really run this thin line of like, let them listen. They're going to be so bored out of their mind with what I am saying.
Right.
And then on the other hand, I'm like, wait a minute. If I give you this freedom, then I'm going to give you other freedom. Then maybe our freedom is worth more than that. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's, I know that saying where you're supposed to say, if you're willing to give up safety, or if you're willing to give up your freedom for safety, you're not deserving.
You're
both.
Taking up too much room.
Yeah, that's it.
That's not it. No, if you're not living on the edge,
yeah, that's not the one
I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Then you're taking up too much room.
But that's not the one I'm thinking
no,
of.
No, that's not the one you're thinking of.
So, in my head this week, it has been a crazy ride. And then I get back to sanity a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to other people. I get into myself. I do my deep breathing. I do my meditation. And you go, well, what can you do about it?
So was Glenn Beck talking about this, the ISIS prophecy?
Yes. Well, he was talking about that he believes that they're in the quote-unquote end times of whatever this is.
Mm-hmm. He believes that they believe. Is that right?
Oh, interesting. I think he means he believes that we are in the end times.
Oh, okay.
Because there are crazy people out there who believe they can make it happen.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's their goal.
Right.
And a lot of different things are going on.
Right.
And then on Thursday or Friday, he was talking about, he goes, and I know right now 10,000 to 15,000 pastors and preachers who are willing to die. And I'm like, what? Why do we have to have 10,000 or 15,000 preachers die, you know,
mm-hmm.
to for our freedom or for our religious freedom or for... I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, mm-hmm. I don't need that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, this is sort of like internet stuff.
Yes,
you know?
And then, Mom, then this, and I am also now being sponsored by Survival Food. Oh, my God,
OMG, are you kidding me?
No, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
You know, and so, and if you listen to those things too much, you could feel powerless.
Yeah.
Like the world is
and
going
scared.
Yeah, and scared.
Yeah.
And what is the point of it? Except that he does talk about there is a point.
Hide children, hide your wife.
Yes. Hide children, hide your wife. Exactly. But I do believe there is could be a slight point, which the slight point is this. Figure out how you want to behave when it all if it all comes down. I mean, we know that civilizations have ended before, or there have been major conflicts and shifts in things.
Like Mayan who?
Yeah.
Mayan who?
My what?
18, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Where'd they
2012,
go?
I don't know what
yeah.
that means anymore.
Yeah.
And so we can choose, he says, you know, choose how you're going to behave. Like, you can help your neighbor. Are you going to still be open and kind? Are you going to, you know, hide yourself away? Have some food around. Now, I believe that because what if we had even just a minor outbreak of a virus or something or a bacteria, you
mm-hmm.
know, that, and, you know, like, well, you know, it'd be nice to be able to weigh it out in your house for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
if need be.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I'm not sure if I really want to hang around for too much longer.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, if you know, we live near a lake, a nice lake that's got lots of fish in it, you know, I should have a fishing pole. I should have a net.
Honey, I can get you that for the end time.
Can you give me that?
I'll buy you a little pole with some string on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can walk to the lake, honey.
And then, you know, I'm hearing stuff about it's not global warming that's going to occur. It's the other way. We're going to go into a mini ice age because the sun is going into a quiet time. And I'm like, oh, no, no. So I know a lot of bad crap about a lot of bad things. And then you ask yourself, oh, I have some goals. I like to see the world before hell cup freezes over or whatever.
Yeah, I want to see the bison some more. I want to see them have more babies.
And so knowing this and hearing all this stuff and really, this is how I feel. I pray that none of it happens.
No, is the sky falling, Chicken Little?
Well, yes, in some aspects. I mean, we're going to be having an asteroid coming close again. I mean, weird stuff's going to be happening.
Another blood moon.
Yes, weird stuff will be happening. And we're in trillions of dollars of debt, and we still are in a deficit, even though the economy, quote-unquote, is good.
Yeah,
I mean,
on the Internet, everybody, you know, Ty's talking about another, you know, 2008.
And I know that pain sells. I know that pain sells, worry sells,
right.
Tragedy sells. You can't have the hopes of something to get better unless you tell people it's horrible now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, okay, I get that.
Because you have to tell people the problem. You have to tell people the problem, and you're trying to sell the solution. You know, I'm sorry. I'm just too tired. You know,
right?
It's not my first rodeo.
Yes, you know, it's not my first journey.
Yeah, for you know the sky's falling.
And
if I
would ask you, Mom, how many times you lived the date of the apocalypse?
Right.
How many times would that have happened?
Right.
Four or five times.
Five
or six.
Yeah, I would say that amount. You know.
I mean, I remember driving through Chicago at 2 a.m. hearing this preacher talking, and the people are going, you shouldn't say that stuff. I'm like, what's going on here, you know? And and he's like, I know for sure the world will come to an end on this date, or it's all coming down this date.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, a week later, it started getting traction, and people were starting to sell insurance for their dogs for people who are believers, who are you are afraid you're going to be raptured up.
Uh-huh.
And your dog will be left behind. We will take care of them for $500. Mm. It's an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I get that. And, you know, when 1999 turned to 2000, that was another...
Oh, yeah, Y2K.
Y2K. I think 1983 there was something, if I
remember.
Well,
also, too, there's this... anytime there's an earthquake anywhere...
Anywhere.
That's, you know,
exactly.
Another signal. At some point, you just... you know, you become...
Yes.
Hardened.
Now, there is a sign that has occurred that no one is talking about yet.
What is it?
I want to share this with you because no one has mentioned this sign, and I think it's a pretty powerful sign. Because we have the Arab Spring going on, correct, right?
Right.
And that whole part of the world is just, in some areas, just crazy right now. And I don't know what to do except pray that everybody is okay and can survive this or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Would you define that for me, Arab Spring?
Oh,
what?
Really? You want me to define it for you?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard it, but
okay. Okay, for what I believe it to mean, and I could Google it. Really, it means that these countries are becoming more modern democratic.
Okay, so it's
not
springtime. Is that what you're saying? It's springtime in some sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's what it means.
Okay.
I'll Google it and find it out. I have Arab Spring timeline. The Arab Spring was a revolutionary wave of demonstrations and protests, both nonviolent and violent. Riots, civil wars in the Arab world began on December 18, 2010, in Tunisia with the Tunisian Revolution and spread throughout the countries. Now, it's very interesting because, if I'm not mistaken, there was a man that burned himself alive during this revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Glenn Beck says is this era's World War II, Mom, help me out here, the assassination of...
World War One, you mean?
World War One, yeah.
Ferdinand?
Thank you.
Okay.
So that's what he says, mm-hmm. is that at the beginning of, you know, of World War III. That's...
Oh, that guy burning himself?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so...
So he's saying that, Glenn Beck is saying that he feels it's already started.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's already started. It's already in the midst. Okay. It's already happening.
Okay.
And so, well, here's the thing. Who won? We had a horse that won the trifecta this year. Do you know who it is?
Mm-mm.
American Pharoah.
Yeah, American Pharoah. That's right.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But
did he win?
He won all three, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
What a name, though, right?
I know. What a name, right?
Wow.
What a name.
Wow.
To win the trifecta after they said, what, 73? No, not 73 years. 23 years, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I think that is pretty interesting.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I don't know.
You're like, Julie, you're just throwing a lot of information out
there. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. American Pharoah. Okay, what is that? What's the meaning of that?
Well, I don't know. Does it connect the relationship? Does it bind the relationship between America and...
Egypt?
And Egypt,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the Middle East.
Uh-huh. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
I know.
That's
it's
kind
a
of
crazy
a stretch.
Thought. Is it a stretch? Am I just throwing...
The trifecta one? I don't know.
Well, you know what?
But
let it go.
But, I mean, I have to turn, you know, stuff off when they start going... Because what are you going to do?
Nothing.
You know, what am I supposed to do? Your money's not going to be any good. Okay, so, you know, you go to a bank and you're trying to get your money out and there's no gold, you know.
Right.
And you're like, what am I going to do? Oh, so you're sitting in your house, there's no electricity, you're eating emergency food, walking to the lake, you know, fishing for a fish.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, stay the course, live, you know, as if life is going to be okay.
Right.
You know,
and not go to an
extreme. I don't want to hold that energy of that extreme.
Yeah.
I feel people who have lived their whole life like that, I feel sorry for them.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do.
You know, like they've just... Like, oh, well, you know, the end times, everything is always coming, you know.
Right.
And I just feel sad for them.
I totally agree.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I understand that, because what you feel like...
I mean, I agree. Look, I live in the Midwest. We live in the country. We live in a nice little mm-hmm. subdivision, like you said, with a big lake. And we're close to the river. The Rock River is very close. The Mississippi River is really close. I mean, maybe...
I feel safe.
Or maybe I'm just sort of protected or jaded. I mean, in the sense of, you know, maybe I haven't seen, you know, the Boston riots and martial law. And,
right.
You know, the biggest thing that we have is sometimes, like on our signs, they'll have like little pieces of tape with an arrow. And I said, oh, my God, there it's finally. Now we've seen, you know, what's really the truth. And, you know, really, the arrows were pointing to snowmobile routes. You know,
right.
I thought maybe they were
right.
supposed to be like, oh, when martial law comes, you know, this is the way they'll have you go. And so, I just sort of like go crazy. You know?
Well, and you're 100% right when you say, what do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with it? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do anything, so therefore, it doesn't help me in any way.
Well, and also, too, I
It is entertaining.
Wherever I put that in my brain, mm-hmm. then, like that story you told me this week about the guy that was being interviewed on WGN, he was on a plane trip. Tell that story, because to me that settles the dust.
Right.
You know, like you can do all you want about, you know, the asteroid.
Right.
You know,
well, it's interesting because I had experiences where I appreciated our men and women in the armed services. I mean, I was listening to Joe Rogan, and he was interviewing Ricky Schroeder from the actual Ricky Schroeder, not the one we talked about last week, the music producer, but mm-hmm. from Silver Spoons. And he did a six-hour miniseries on ending the war in Afghanistan. And just an amazing what these men do and women do and how they are appreciated by the Afghanis. And yet there are these groups of people who want to destroy the peace, you know, keep it going. And they also mentioned, too, mm-hmm. this idea that they really want to bring forth a big world war conflict so that their God can come back.
Is this true? Oh, really?
Afghanistan?
Yes.
I think ISIS is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
he lived with them for 6 months.
It's like 100-something. Yeah, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to WGN, and their travel guy was talking. And he said, I was on a plane this weekend, and
they were coming from New York to Chicago.
Right. And the pilot comes on and warns everybody that he doesn't want anybody to be concerned when they land the plane, because they'll be met with several fire trucks
mm-hmm.
and police off cars and so forth. And we'll be following them in because we have a fallen soldier on board. And I thought, and it was like, yeah. He could barely say it too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, he said the plane just went silent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, when we get closer, his comrade that has to travel with him, you know, will say some words. And he said the comrade talked about his commander, I think he was saying that every fallen soldier comes home and with, you know, with this,
mm-hmm.
and you're part of it today.
Yes.
You are part of his coming home. And mm-hmm. he said it was just amazing to see the plane, you know, drive slowly in,
right,
following the fire trucks and the police and everything, and
mm-hmm.
just knowing that this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a little bit of peace knowing that we still do that.
Yes. And see, to me, this is, you know, as a mom, I mean, this is the real stuff.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, I don't know. But to me, that brings it home. That makes it
real.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we still respect this, even though it's been 15 years,
yes.
14 years.
Oh, my God.
And we really weren't designed. I mean, one thing that Ricky Schroeder mentioned is that we don't have a draft.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in this war for over 15 years, and we have people still signing up,
mm-hmm.
willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Quinn's boyfriend is going.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. I don't know. He's going. He's signing up. He's joining the service.
Mm-hmm. My nephew went.
Yeah, you know,
Marcus.
Yeah, he did. You know, and well, it's interesting because, you know, Marcus came back, and you could tell that he was affected because he was in, I mean, he was...
Well, he was wounded first.
Right. And then he came back. I mean, he was wounded, but it wasn't...
Life-threatening?
No.
Right.
And, you know, he struggled, you know, and
yeah.
then, you know, passed away from, you know, basically, from what we know, a drug overdose of, you know,
yeah.
pain medicine.
Right.
And then, you know, Doug's nephew, he went, did three tours over there as well. He helped unload. I don't think he would have been let go. I don't think he would have been allowed to go in previous conflicts,
because
mm-hmm. he does have some like eye issues. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
see very clearly, and he has some ear issues. But he does well enough to unload trucks and unload, you know, ships.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was, he goes, you can hear the bullets go over your heads and you can hear them come close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freaky, but you get used to it.
Wow. Well, you know, that's, I don't mean to really change the subject, but yesterday we went to the air show, the Rockford Air Show, and the Blue Angels were amazing there. And it was from 11 to 5, which is a long time. And the angels, but when the angels came, it was so loud. You could feel it in your body. Like you felt it in your stomach.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, wow, I was trying to imagine if I was in a war zone and I heard these noises, you know, because the noise comes first, really.
Right. Oh, it does. Well, no, it doesn't. Yeah.
Or does it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But you hear it behind it,
too. Yeah, you just don't know where it's coming from. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's this, and I just thought, I can't even imagine what it'd be like in war-torn countries. And we had these big signs that said, no drones allowed. I don't know who would be bringing one, but.
Exactly. I don't know either, but they had to have it on there.
Yeah, there were big signs all over as we were entering into the air show, which was a little funny. I mean, this place was packed. And one of the reasons could be that the street we were trying to get on, they wouldn't let us go past. They made us go into the air show and collect $40.
Oh,
it's like,
this was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we just wanted to drive around.
Yeah.
And we got into the lane to do that. Then all of a sudden, we're like, I'm saying, okay, I just need you guys to know, it looks like we were all being pushed into the air show.
Yes. We are all being, really.
All of us. And so we better think about either we're going to have to get out and say, we don't want to be here. We want to get out of here.
And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to donate to the air show.
Yeah. And then we sat and enjoyed it.
Yeah. Luckily, they shushed us into this, because literally no parking space.
Yes.
And then we said, no, we're going to go. We're going to just leave. And then we decide, well, the exit was closed.
Yes.
Right? And so then we saw this field that had parking, and I went, let's just go there. And we kind of hung on the outskirts because we brought our doggie. We brought Elliot along. And
he did wonderfully.
He was already going crazy.
Only from people, though. He was wonderful.
Well, when he sees people or cars, but the airplanes, He didn't do too bad, really.
No.
Yeah, but so we hung around kind of on the outskirts of the parking.
Right.
And that was a little bit better for all of us, you know.
It was. And we enjoyed it, and it was like, oh, my gosh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got through it. And he hated it when cars drove by, but when the jets flew over, nothing. I almost felt for a split second, could he be deaf?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not true.
Because it would make you deaf out loud.
Yeah, exactly. I know that not to be true because I could call his name and he'd be like, yeah, hey, I'm over here. Mm-hmm. I'm coming now.
Right.
But
It was loud.
It was loud.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And there were six of them, and they were doing all sorts of really scary stuff. And I don't know, I just kept picturing all the testosterone those pilots must have to do that. And it was kind of like, for me, it was kind of like a Top Gun type of fantasy.
It felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah, it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt,
and I all of a
I was
sudden
impressed.
I was like
I was,
singing this
is amazing.
Song, I'm proud to be an American.
Yes.
Sing the red, white, and blue. I don't know, but I was just like, I was in a whole fantasy thing.
It was nice to experience that and just be amazed at the ingenuity of these flying machines.
and how fast flying machines.
I know. And also the people flying them.
Yes.
How crazy are they and how brave they are.
I know.
Or more crazy than brave. Maybe they
I'm
have
just
that
saying
gene.
Testosterone. That's what I'm thinking. Wouldn't it be, can a Blue Angel be a girl?
Yes. I don't know if there's ever been one.
Oh, my gosh.
You
that'd
know?
Be so cool.
It would be very cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I know I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I could barely, you know, just look up and see them, you know, without feeling like, could they fall? You know, you always see, like, on bloopers or something, you know, these air show missteps, mishaps, you know.
I couldn't handle it.
No.
I mean, literally it looks like so close together.
Yeah.
But I know this, that if everybody is going the same speed, it doesn't feel as fast or as scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just quickly, says, I'm just looking here, first possible female pilot. And
there was.
Uh-huh. Female naval aviators have been flying fire jets for 20 years, but...
Was any of them a Blue Angel?
Yes. This is Katie Higgins, 27, the first ever female Blue Angel.
Wow.
Yep.
And could she have been there last night?
This was 2014. She certainly could have been.
Oh, wow.
She certainly could have been.
And here I was, like, imagining the testosterone in that little, that big jet.
I'm certainly sure her testosterone was higher.
That's probably true.
We have testosterone, too, and sometimes I can tell when mine's dropping.
Yeah.
I would not doubt. So, yeah, that's kind of cool, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
Yeah. It's very
cool. I wonder if they pay her the same.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm 100% sure. I mean, because it's all based on their rank.
Yeah, exactly.
So whatever their rank is.
Yeah.
But that seems like a pretty... If I was a great fighter pilot, and that would be... I think that would be a cool gig to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because all season long, you are just
flying. Every weekend, you have to go someplace.
Oh, for sure. I've seen their schedule. It's pretty amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's only for the summer.
No, I started off way in February, March, I think.
Oh,
so that's it's a pretty long season.
Mm-hmm.
And they show you when they're practicing too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We were out in the park on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we heard these like big jets, and we didn't know at that time that there was gonna be an air show on Saturday. We kept thinking, what are they doing? Are they doing some kind? Didn't you say something about you heard like one city was doing ops or something this week, and they didn't tell anybody?
Well, this goes back to our beginning conversation, how the world is going crazy, which I know you want to don't talk about anymore.
No, I do, sweetie.
So I was hearing in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, had all these calls coming into the police station saying, there are bombs being dropped off around us. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
And to find out, the Army were having practice, ops, basically to get prepared for urban warfare. And
in Flint, Michigan.
And they didn't tell everybody. Like, they told people at 12:30 on one day.
Mm-hmm.
It happened at 2 o'clock that same day.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's craziness,
I would
right?
think if you were an old person, you'd be scared
poopless. People were talking about that.
They were?
Yes, that they were scared poopless. and they were talking about that they may be coming to Muskegon, Michigan, and different, Grand Rapids.
Why Michigan? Why Michigan?
Who knows why? Well, about maybe, probably for every state, wherever you have a base, or not a base, or even, a base or your local, even if it's just your reserves, really.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Dixon, there is that reserve. They go every other weekend, right?
Yeah, and we have our armory.
Yes.
And we have those little yellow, orangish, yellow little tank-type trucks.
Right.
We have about 10 of them or 12 of them.
So, I mean,
and we all just take them out, and they all just ride around town. And
yeah. So they
it's like a little parade.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So maybe someday we might have it in Dixon.
Wow.
And someone brought up a very interesting point. They said, but really all you're doing is practicing having urban warfare in an American city.
Mm-hmm.
How does that help you train for Afghanistan or someplace else?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting, too. Mm-hmm. And someone would say they're getting ready for martial law.
Right, like that's what everybody always says. It's like, it's for when they turn on you.
Yes, exactly, because they will eventually.
Yeah. I got an email. I didn't even open it, but the tagline was, 50,000 coffins ordered for,
right.
something. And, it's like, that's so 2000.
It does. Or when you hear, Well, what is the organization that came up after Katrina?
That came...
Or maybe that helped Katrina out after the damage was done and...
Red Cross?
No, it's a federal organization.
Oh, FEMA.
FEMA, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, hearing FEMA, it has purchased, you know, 10
yes.
million survival packages,
right.
you know,
right.
for food. 10 right. million meals.
Oh, yeah, and we also heard, like, that the government moved their quarters from, like, Virginia to underground in Colorado.
Yes.
For where they, in case there's an EMP strike, which
right.
to me, now that's a little more like, I can see that maybe, you know.
I can see that. I don't know how easy it would be to do an EMP strike.
I don't either.
And could it affect all of America?
Yeah.
And does it affect Canada too then?
Right. I don't know.
Or
but,
Mexico? I mean, where does it stop? Does it stop only at the border?
Right.
I mean, that's a
It does not go past Texas.
You know, but I'm like, I'm hopping over the border.
Yeah, but...
We're
but,
having a mass migration. Stop to the border.
But when I was listening to that, and there was actual news story on this, though I felt it might have been real.
Yeah.
But when they were building these underground quarters, the place where they were buying the food and stuff to stock, they said, shut down and just keep making this food for us. I mean, they...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so the factories that they chose had to stop, you know, producing for the... You know,
other people.
Right. And just get enough to where they just felt comfortable. Same thing with, like, you know, barracks, you know, cots and things like that.
Right.
But I don't know if that's... That's true, but that's to me the EMP thing is a little more, I don't know, a little more real to me.
I agree, but I don't
because
know.
I mean I could see that happening on American soil because it doesn't doesn't really, there's no real war, you just it stops everything, you know.
Yeah.
Your trucks stop, your cars stop.
And we always, you and I have this plan. I say, don't come and find me. I will come and find you guys.
Right.
Stay
I'm supposed
home.
To stay where I am.
Yeah.
And
whoever
you're
is home,
yeah.
Otherwise, it could just be horrible us trying
right.
to find each other
right.
in the midst of it all.
Right.
Can I bring a little bit of spirituality to the mix tonight?
Yeah, of course.
We only have 11 minutes to go, 12 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm wheezing a little bit, and I want to apologize.
I don't hear it.
Oh, good. Thank you. It's just a lot of pollen. We were outside
yes,
a lot today, and
yes.
I can feel the pollen.
And yesterday we were out, too.
Yeah. And so I'm a little allergies, no big deal. I was reading Deepak Chopra's Spiritual Solutions book.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Deepak Chopra once in a while, and sometimes I get hit so hard with his... Like, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I wanted to hear
yeah,
tonight.
He's, you know, when I bought that book,
yes,
like you reading it to me now, it's so much more deeper.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, the first time I read it, I thought, how dare you call this a book?
Really?
Because you're just answering questions. You're
right.
proposing. You know, people just can't. And I'm like, well, this is fascinating. And yet part of our book, that you know, is that as well. It's kind of fun.
Yes.
Our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
Love that book. You can get it at Amazon. Go there right now and get it.
Yes, please do.
Please, yay.
And we'll give you the audio for free.
Let us know. Just email us at talktous@christinemarieandjulia.com.
Oh, I just love how we just did that so easily.
Really effortlessly.
It wasn't even a segue. It was so
no.
so sweet and simple.
And so I don't know what I missed about this, but I love this idea that he talks about in his book. He talks about, and I know this, because, but the way he presented it, it hit me differently, so I must be at a different place in my life. This idea that whatever problem you have right now is at a certain level, and a problem cannot be solved at the same level it exists at.
Mm-hmm.
It must be solved at a higher level.
Right.
And so that's why when you go have a divorce, you have a mediator who's non-partial, can see things differently,
mm-hmm.
or a judge. No matter what goes on, by going to somebody taking a higher vantage point,
mm-hmm.
you can then see the problem as for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and then come up with a solution. And he goes, and that's how you get, you move up the ladder, the level of transcendence to transcendence.
Yes.
You're moving up the spiritual ladder in some
mm-hmm.
sense.
Yes.
You're expanding. Because what happens is by figuring out this problem at this level, you must go higher to another level to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You then expand.
And then, boom.
Boom, you're there at this level. And so in some ways, by
expanding. Isn't that sweet?
Completely answers so many questions.
Yes. And also, he mentions that as you are doing this, in essence, you are inviting that
yes.
next challenge
yes.
or obstacle because you're inviting
are.
The evolution
yes.
of your life, the transcendence to your life.
And when I read that, I must be at a different place because it just hit me hard. And
yes.
I go, oh, that just answers so many questions.
Doesn't it?
So many questions.
And to me, it just made me feel happier and
yeah,
lighter.
For sure.
Because, like you said, it was a crazy week.
And, though, this idea that as we're taking these obstacles, moving ahead, obstacles move ahead, obstacles move ahead. I mean, and we also know that I was reading this one guy, and he says, I love obstacles when I'm doing my business. I know as soon as I get over it,
mm-hmm.
there's a bunch of people who can't get over it,
mm-hmm.
who hit it and say, I'm
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
But I've hit it and I've gotten
over
it.
How true is that, right?
Exactly.
You know, I've been one of those people that didn't make it up that obstacle. And
oh, me too.
And you know, had stopped on certain things.
Well, and that's because I got lazy in the sense of
mm-hmm.
I thought if I was on the right path,
it would have worked out.
And it would be easier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But the struggle is my choice. The struggle is a choice
right.
that I judge the situation.
Right. For me, mine is a little different. I'm like, oh, if it gets too much, and especially if it has to do with technology
yeah.
or something, I'm like, oh, no, I get so disappointed. And
yeah.
And not again, and
yeah.
I just like, oh, am I a loser?
Right.
And I do that. I play that game.
Yeah, and it's a painful game to play.
It is. Yeah.
We were talking about his levels in his book, and I mean, the first time I really got his book, I got the book. Was it the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success?
Yeah, that was ages ago.
Ages ago. I don't think it had a number in front of it, but I think it was just the Spiritual Laws of Success.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that little book.
Yes.
And how little could that have been?
Little, but bold.
Bold, packed.
Mm-hmm.
I still pick it up and read it once in a while.
Oh, I know.
And that's when I fell in love with his work.
Mm-hmm.
And through the course of my life, reading other people, I then expand my view and I come back and I can put it all together better.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a long, long-term meditator. We were talking to our engineer before the show, and he said he's going to go to the woods and meditate, you know. And you can tell when someone has that long history of meditation. They're just more balanced.
Yeah.
Things don't stick to them, you know. Like I was listening to you sort of counsel one of your close friends who's had a horrendous experience, and you were saying, okay, here is what I'm telling you to do. The next time you see him, say, I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah.
Whatever I say bounces off to me and sticks to you. I mean, because, but I was laughing, but yet it's so true. You know, you have to take a lighter approach. You can't,
right.
you know, otherwise everything sticks to you.
Right.
You know, and meditation helps you see at that internal level that what you think is sticking to you is an illusion.
And it can help you, like Dad was talking to me about it, and he was saying, I don't get what the big deal is. You know, of course he's mad. You know, she's mad at him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're not getting it to the point where
right.
she feels that it affects every part of her life.
Right.
Well, like, how often do they see each other still? Well, they have a child together, you know, so they see each other a couple times a week maybe for
mm-hmm.
10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what meditation does, too, or this idea of being in the present moment, because then once that moment is gone, if you can figure out a process to really let it go,
yes.
you can start then going, okay, I'm here.
Right.
I'm with my daughter.
Right.
I can do this.
Right. And also to have those, you know, to have to be married long term to those feelings of anger,
yeah,
competitiveness,
right,
or just vengeance, you
yeah
know, that you want to get back. And you know, she was thinking of the worst possible way to hurt him, and that would have been just to, like, totally let go of her child. Or, you know, I don't, it didn't make any sense to us.
Well,
I'm
I don't
sure
think it was about hurting him at that point.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling was she couldn't take anymore,
mm-hmm,
and the only way that she could see this end is she just said, I'll let it all go.
Right.
I don't think it was about hurting him. I think it was about saving her.
I totally agree with you, yeah. Okay. I misspoke.
No. But I thought that was a good point, though, you made. I mean, it's sort of like you go, okay, well, this seems crazy. This seems like an extreme
mm-hmm
response
mm-hmm
to what he's doing. And that's to give him total custody because you just can't take
yeah
it anymore.
I mean, I kept, you know, in the background, I'm saying, tell her to see herself like the eagle.
Yes.
Fly high.
Fly high.
Higher. And fly so high to when
right
you look down, it doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't hurt so much.
Exactly. Know? Exactly. And having her go through this, I just want to strangle them both.
Yeah.
I want to just strangle them both because
yeah
I just say, this is a done deal, guys. Now we have to be mature enough to
mm-hmm
just
yeah, you know, whatever happened
kind
to put it on your big girl pants.
And to be kind to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Things
I mean,
happen.
You can be kind for those 5 minutes that you're exchanging children at the parking lot of McDonald's, or mostly here it's Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, where you see the 6 o'clock exchange.
I know.
You know.
Exactly. The 6 o'clock exchange. I mean, we saw it on Friday. We see it on Sunday.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
It's at either McDonald's or
Walmart.
Or Walmart. Mm-hmm. I love it, though. It's kind of cute. And everybody does it. It's just no big deal.
Yeah.
Get over it.
You got to put your big girl panties on, and you do it for the sake of the children.
You really do. Exactly, exactly.
And your own sanity, really.
Mm-hmm. So when I read that quote in the Indie podcast,
you know what we didn't talk about at all, though?
What?
Is your boyfriend is in Ireland this week. We didn't talk about that. Maybe
no
next week we'll talk about it.
Yes. He's in Ireland with his daughter, and she stays the whole summer break
mm-hmm
for some credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, that's awesome. When did that, like, you know, that's pretty darn cool. and so forth. And I've been really impressed by him because I know he hasn't flown in, I would say, a decade. And he doesn't like flying. And for his first flight back into this idea of traveling,
mm-hmm,
to fly to Ireland.
Yeah.
And it has not been easy for him. I mean,
yeah,
he's had to cancel tickets. He's had to buy other tickets. He's gotten to a couple of verbal altercations. I'll
mm-hmm
get it. He's done it.
He did it. He got
and
there.
I thought to myself, this man was motivated because he would not be that motivated with me.
No. Oh, no. See, this is what parents do for their kids.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'll go to this, because mm-hmm he was worried because his daughter did not have anybody picking her up at the airport
mm-hmm
in Ireland. So
mm-hmm
he's like, well, I got to go. I can't just let her go to Ireland by herself for the first time. I mean, I know she'll figure it out eventually, but who's going to meet her there? Who's going to help her? We have to go together.
Right.
I know. But he did it.
Yes, he did.
He hasn't had vacation such a long time like this.
Yeah.
I was so happy for him.
Yeah, I am too.
I was grateful. And I hope that he comes back renewed. And
Julie, I'm going to prophesy right now
mm-hmm
that I see you in Capri because you have always wanted to
yeah
go to the Isle of Capri.
That would be lovely.
And pick lemons and have Capri pants made for yourself.
That's right.
I'm
yes
going to prophesy
I
that
wanted to buy some Capri pants.
Yes.
Some flip-flops made
yes
there, and I also wanted to make my own perfume.
Yes,
because they have a place
with a
there
lemon base.
With a lemon base, exactly. Yes. Something very fresh.
That's how
I
we
want
should end the show.
Exactly.
Thinking about traveling to Capri on a riverboat cruise. Can you do that? No, on those, what kind of cruises?
Well, it has to be a big cruise ship, I guess. It is an island.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Everyone, thank you very much for listening to our topics, our fun stuff.
Yeah, I think it was great.
Yeah,
I think it was pretty great.
Bye bye.
It was great. It was great.